Alright. Let's do this thing. Here we go. Crack the knuckles. Yeah. Tom the Mighty. Hello. Grin. My question is pretty vague, I suppose. I have about 1.5 million. How can I turn this into big profits? Well, depends on what your definition is of big profits and how fast you want to get said big profits. And if you're a gambling man or not. I mean, because you could easily put down a $1.5 million bet on the MMG, and if you're lucky, you have big profits. If you're not, you're not. So there's your best risk risk reward ratio. What you could do is you could use that money to buy buffs that help you farm other items, like item drops or meat drop buffs that you can get, or any other buffs that you might need. If you're asking about what items to buy because their prices are going to increase, that's a fine question. And that's kind of a hard question, because now you're doing market speculation. And some items are getting more expensive, some aren't. And again, and I keep harping on this, and no one believes me, this game, even though it's electronic and it's an economy, still runs on supply and demand. Meaning, when there is more supply, and there's not a demand to meet that supply, the prices are going to go down. When the demand meets the amount of supply, and as it becomes more than the amount of supply, the prices go up. This is why, for example, used to be springs were going for 1,500 to 2,000 meat before Ascension rolled out, because no one farmed there for them, unless they're farming for springs. When the muscle area rolled out, and you could buy them for, you know, 50 meat or whatever, boom, tons of them. No one needed them anymore because they could just go get them. All right. Another point in case, petrified time. Somebody was going, oh my god, are we running out of petrified time? Do we need more? No, we don't. I mean, that was a one-time thing. But there's no more supply coming in. So guess what? The demand's still out there. People want the time items. So the demand is heavy. The supply is small. Guess what's going to happen to the price? It's going to pop up. Alright? So, you know, there you go. But so if you're looking for an actual item, right now, unless you find a specific item that you've been marketing or watching and you notice the prices is consistently going up, and you're going to have to kind of look in the quasi-rares for that type of item to be a situation, I do not recommend buying a bunch of items and waiting for them to show up with only 1.5 million meat. I would say, honestly, you know, hoard your meat and buy things that you need. That's my suggestion, unless you want to go play with the MMJ. Yeah. Alright. Interesting fact, the when first implemented pieces of time were more expensive than the current price. You know, you're right. When they first came out, everybody and their freaking dog wanted one, and they were going for almost 2 million. But if you remember also, they did go down to under 1 million, and now they're on their way back up. Which is just kind of that curve and up. MMG, not MMJ. Alright. Money-making game. Next question. Latitude. What level has the heavy D drops been nerfed to? There is no heavy D drop nerfage. The RNG is screwing with you. And yes, I went around and asked in other places that you don't get to, and they all said, no, nothing's wrong. Cuckoo275 asks, I know that tiny plastic swords are expensive and all, So where do you get them? You get them in a 1 in 3 chance from opening a Crimbo Stocking, which was given to every player back in Crimbo of 04, so this is 2 years ago. And same kind of idea as Petrified Time. There's not that many of them out there in the market. Everybody wants them. And, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, a piece of fine art. If it's a piece of art that everybody wants, they're going to bid a lot for it. If it's a piece that they don't want, holy crap, they're $8 million right now. Wow. I have two of them. Wow. Small Crimbo present? Oh, yeah, it was in the present that was in the stocking, but you still had to open the stocking to get to it. So basically, you can't farm them, which is why people are like, eh. Alright, Susie the Punk, how about an Avatar topic? Why is Sin not making any more? You know, I think because she posted about 5 pages back that she had real life issues and her time was a little bit less compared to what she had, and that's why she's not doing them. However, I love my Sin Avatar, it's so pretty. Sailor Bowser asks, well, what about mushroom farming? Is that what you meant by farming just now? No, I was talking about, like, farming for items. Some people do farm for mushrooms, especially if they're a cook and they're cooking food. Instead of buying your mushrooms, you can just make them. They're a lot cheaper than to buy them or to go, you know, spend adventures to get them. You don't get as many in some cases, but, you know, if you don't go into the spooky forest that often, that's how you can get your spooky mushrooms. Not a bad idea. That's one thing that I do. Perrin Green KT asks, how do I manage with the new elemental damage? Seems I spent 15 turns wasting spells on Yeti today during 1 point of cold damage. Any items for increased likelihood of landing spells? Let me think here. Well, I lunge thrust smack my way through the Yeti, so I don't really use spells that much. Let's see here. I know the Kickback Cookbook will increase the damage. I know Eye of Stoat makes it so LTS doesn't hit. I cannot think of anything that item-wise that will change your percentage of hit. I know there are a lot of things that will change critical hits percentages, but off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that makes your spells hit more. But then again, I tend to just go high. I have a melee weapon, and I have Tenacity the Snapper, and I maybe have like a hobo glove or something that I picked up, and I'll LTS, and I might get hit once, and I'll hit him again. let me tell you, the purple snow cone, right about then, hot sex. Yeah. The Grey Plague items are rare, but they haven't been nerfed. Well, going back to the items, the Grey Plague, you could farm for those items. Okay? So let's think about this here. Every character got a Petrified Time item, or a piece of Petrified Time. At the time, I'm going to hazard a guess, and I'm going to guess high, 150,000 items. Okay? Now, yes, some of them were multis, people then ripped off their item and never played the character again. But there's 150,000. That's it. Okay? That means if I take the number of Petrified Time plus sword plus hat plus pants, that number's constant. In fact, it's going to be gone down if characters weren't in a protected and they went inactive and got deleted. Okay? Whereas with the Grey Plague, when that came out, dear God, everyone and their dog were farming the damn things. And the other reason that there is a dramatic price shift is that the Grey Plague items are just items. They don't do anything anymore. Time items give you turns give you turns. 3 per item plus 3 more bonus if you have all 3 things on. You know, that's... Damn, I mean, that's 12 turns. I mean, when Ashlon finally goes soft core, guess what? I'm breaking out. Day one pull. Yank, yank, yank. I'm pulling that bitch out. I mean, that's item. Let's see here. Now, the Cyclops points out a point here for your spell thing, Peregrine, is that you're doing cold damage to a cold winter animal. That doesn't make sense. You should be doing fire damage to a cold winter animal. But Jick apparently has hinted to an item that affects fell elements, so I don't know what that is, and I missed that show, so... next question. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Goes back to that. Well, if you want, you know, like you start to go back to that question about investing in 1.5 meat. Time items might be it, but you're going to be able to buy one. Animus asks. Did you ask twice? Yes, you did. Okay. I don't know what the giant pinky ring does. Can you explain its effect? Okay. You put the ring on. Nothing really happens. Well, here's the deal. You know how when you're fighting the blob in the Dungeon of Doom, sometimes you get the corroded weapon? Or when you're fighting the apathetical lizardman, you get apathy? Or when you fight a couple other things, you get poisoned? Those effects that just come at you, and you have no control over them. When they hit, you just have to deal with them. That are negative, that they negate your stats, that it's not caused by putting something on or off. It's because you get them in battle. It's 75, it's increased chance, I think it's 75, I don't remember. Actually, let me just go look on my ring here, because I don't remember the number. Inventory, because I just actually got that ring today. Just did So, giant pinky ring, it is a 75% chance of preventing a negative status attack. So basically, if the blob swings at you and hits, it's a 75% chance that the negative status attack will not happen, if it was going to. Okay? So that's what that is. Alright. Moving on. Ms. Gwyn asks, you've answered this many times, but yet I ask again. That's okay. I'm going back into Hardcore Regular. Yay! I have Sympathy, Pasta Mastery, Sauce Crafting, and Snow Cone, of course. What should I go for next? I would go for Empathy of the Newt or Leash of Linguini. You've taken care of your food needs, and I would also recommend going Teetotaler, because once you start getting pâtés, you never go back. Plus, you don't have to worry about drinks. It's a little bit longer than No Path, but man, it's good. But you need to focus on now is getting your familiar skills and maybe also picking up mad looting skills. That will also help as well. So that would be my suggestions would be Seal Clubber for Empathy of the Newt, Postamancer for Leash Linguini, just go ban it for Mad Looted Skills. Or Accordion Thief for the Monstrous Matter Girl. Those would be the next 4 skills, in whatever order you want to go for, that I would suggest. I'd ask to suggest the familiar skills first, because it'll make your life tons easier when you're fighting the familiars at the end. You don't have to level your familiars, because think about it. You have those 3 familiar skills, that's 15 pounds, and a green snow cone, which you, as soon as you get one, you save it. That's 21 pounds, because you get the 1 pound for free. That's enough to beat the critters. So, yeah, I would suggest those next. Alright. Let's see here. Let me scroll up some, make sure I haven't forgotten anybody. Let's see here. That one I've copied. That one's new. And... Turtle Chamber for Empathy. Why the hell do I keep getting that mixed up? I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Yeah, Turtle Chamber's Empathy. I'm an idiot. Yeah. Thank you. I do this all the time. Blah, blah. I mean, I keep thinking that accordion songs come from the Disco Bandit. I don't know frickin' why. But I do that a lot. Alright. Remo, what's the best way to speed ascend? Well, see, Remo, you didn't give me enough information. Are you going hardcore? Are you going softcore? What items do you have? Do you have access to mystery accessories? Do you have access to wax lips? I mean, you kind of got to give me some more there. But the key is a balancing act between if you're softcore, the pulls versus the turns that it would take to get those items. Like, I always pull 3 ore because it is always time better for me because I don't try to speed run for softcore. 3 days fine with me. Pull 3 ore instead of having to wait for the outfit and then try to figure out where in that little maze of mine is the ore. That's just me. But if you can follow up with a little bit more information, I can help you out there. Susie the Punk, how do you speed through OxyCore in only a few days? Now, looking for spoilers, just advice. Well, I don't know that answer yet, because I've got one more run after this Turtle Tamer run, and then I'm doing my Oxy Loop. But my understanding is that you're looking at those fast runs that they have air coming off an Oxy run before. They are ascending or positioning stat days to fall in such a way that they're extremely useful, such as, you know, when they're like level 7, level 8. And they always avenge around your stat days, and if you have your primary stat, and they're always fighting the areas that are the strongest. And so, you know, I expect each one of my Oxys to take 2 weeks, because I'm not that good, knowing that my first Oxy is going to suck. Yeah, because I'm not coming in with any air this first one. But, so, I would honestly go to the Hardcore channel and say, hey, you speed OxyCore runners, can you throw me a link of where some information is about how the hell you're doing that? Because I've got to go pick some brains pretty soon anyway myself, because that's the one part of the game that I really have not played with is OxyCore, besides PvP. Neo Maxwell, I know you're not ranting on farming, but what would be the best combination outfit to farm for extra turns over rollover? Well, I've already talked about some of it. You've got to have the time outfit, which would be the time helmet, time sword, time trousers. Okay. Really not a shirt that helps you. For your items, I would have imitation nice watch, a dead guy's watch, and whatever that tiny plastic, is it Bitch and Meat Car? Yeah, Bitch and Meat Car. It gives you another turn. That would give you 3, 6, 9, 12, 14, 16 extra turns. That'd be my suggestion. And there's probably... Oh yeah, and a Plexi Watch. If you get the Plexi Watch instead, yeah. That would be better than any of the other items that I just told you. But if you don't have those, then... Oh, that's right. The watches don't stack. Crap. Standstill Solitaire. Yeah. That would also be good. So, you know, now, barring that you don't have any of those things, a chrome weapon is going to be your easiest bet with a dead guy's watch, because that's easily gettable. You know, start out small and work your way up to what you can get. Yeah, because Stainless Steel Solitaire... gives you 2 adventures, so that would be better than a Bitch and Meat Car, or the Dead Guy's Watch. Yeah. So switch out the Dead Guy's Watch with the Stainless Steel Solitaire. or Crimbo Reindeer. I mean, there are different ways you can pull this off. It was pointed out to me that, well, if you pull your time outfit day one softcore, you can't use it. Well, I can't use it to adventure that first day, but I promise you I'll have all my secondaries up above 35 at the end of my first day one on a softcore run. So, yeah. I'll get that. Tiny Classic Crimbo Reindeers. I always forget the reindeers. Alright, let's see here. What else? Always forget the reindeers. So yeah, I would say, so if we're thinking about this, you know, obviously some of these things are hardcore required. But since you're starting out, I know you're pretty young, character-wise, I'm going to suggest right now that you want to start with a chrome weapon and a dead guy's watch. And then as you make the meat, and as you do hardcore, you're going to start being able to get better items to switch out. That's where you're going to want to start with. That chrome weapon. Good weapon. Let's see here. Rusty Sword 1. Yeah, I know. I mispronounced it. Deal. Hey, I'm having trouble making meat off of cocktails. Can you help me finding cheap ingredients so I don't lose money instead of making money? Well, let's think about what makes a good cocktail. We have a bottle of booze, we have a piece of fruit, and we have a garnish, okay, or a glass type thing. You know, ice cubes, umbrellas, coconut shells, you get the picture. So let's think, where can I get cheap booze? Well, there's a booze giant at the bottom of Menagerie Level 3 that, if you have nice item drops, can drop fairly decent amount of booze. There is booze drops in the Funhouse. There's booze drops in the Pirate's Cove. There's booze drops in the Goatlet. So there's different places. But the one that seems, and there's some other places I'm not talking, I'm just throwing out some examples. Yes, I know there are other places to give out booze, but the booze giants seem to be the ones that give out the most, and you can get two or three different types at once, where most of the other places you don't get that many. I mean, and you've seen the pictures, you know, look, I got all six at once, bam, ah. So, that'd be where I suggest you get your booze. Okay, your second item, your fruit. Well, you know, honestly, get yourself a hippie outfit, go to the hippie store, and buy your fruit. Now, you won't be able to get all of the fruit there that you need to make your Disco Bandit drinks. So then you kind of have to look at, okay, where do they come from? And, you know, how you get them. Or, consequently, you can go with a clover to the hippie camp and get the fruit baskets. And GLE does point out that if you don't care about stats, you know, I always care about stats, because that's just me. But I guess if you're farming for drinks, you don't care about stats, go to the Orcish Frat House with a clover. That tends to be nice as well. And then finally, the third thing is the garnish. Well, you can get garnishes from the shore. You can also get garnishes through the advanced cocktail crafting. So, I'm thinking, I'm going to get advanced cocktail crafting. That's free, it's no turns. And, you know, with the shore, you're not guaranteed to get them. So, that's my suggestions on how to get your parts for your drinks. You know, for food, it's kind of the same way. For those of you who are cookers, find your food that's a good seller. That's within relative ease of you know, making things. Let's look at some foods here in the mall. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go ahead. A typical reagent food right now is going for about 4,500. Let's see here. Yeah, pretty much about 4,500 or higher. Let's if you're looking at just like a noodles, delicious noodles are $880. Delicious spicy noodles are $2,400. Dry noodles go for $3,000. So see right there, the problem is, unless you're getting your own noodles, those foods aren't profitable. Because your dry noodles cost $3,000. Those foods cost, you know, less. Well, why are the dry noodles so high? It's because they're funding the chow mein. Chow mains right now are looking at $6,500 for some of the more used ones, down to $5,700 for prawn. And I see those chow mein prices are back on the rise. Interesting. Sailor Bowser does point out that Meat Maids and Pagoda also will give you extra turns. Those really aren't an outfit, but if you're not playing on Ascending, a Meat Maid or a Clockwork Meat Maid and then a Pagoda are actually pretty nice. But the Pagoda is a pain in the butt to get. Alright. Next question. Cuckoo 275, is the Knobgoblin Treasury the best place to farm? It is for meat from levels 5, 6, and 7. Once you get 8 and higher, the best place to farm is the Icy Peak, assuming you have the skills to survive there. If you're farming for items, obviously the treasury is not the best place to farm for items because they don't have that many items there beyond beans and some Knobgoblin Elite stuff and the visor. And, yeah, so, you know, it's good for me, though. Queen of Sheba asks, is it still possible to get an incredibly dense meat gem without buying one, as in through drops? The word on the street is that the ultra-rare equations have not changed. In fact, a clanmate showed me recently that someone had gotten a Hitman disc in Hardcore like 2 days ago. So, yes, the ultra-rares are still dropping. Gleaves asks a question. How come reagents are half the price of dry noodles? Well, let's look at this. Dry noodles. 3,000. Okay. Reagents. It helps if I spell it correctly. Wow, 1,200. Well, let's see here. Why would this be? Well, your dry noodles are going to be your driving force towards reagent foods and chow mein prices. Your reagents help with the reagent foods because, you know, that's pretty much most of it. I would say probably because there is a more demand for chow mains than there are potions. I'm looking at the potion prices, and they're fairly low. And so I think it's because the item that uses it is pushing the raw materials. There's more of a demand for chow mein than potions. Therefore, there's going to be more of a demand for its raw materials than potion raw materials. Make sense? It's kind of more of a, you know, this is true. There's a shortage of steel right now in the world because it's being used so much. So steel prices are going up. But why are they going up? Because everybody's building houses and mainframes, and China decided, we want to build things now. So okay. Dude, need to shut up, otherwise you're going to get beaten and or deleted. Alright, let's see here. So that was Sail Bowser's point about time trappings on first day. When I'm planning on wearing them, I'm planning on having them on at the end of rollover on day one. Two more questions and then I'm going for a musical break because I need to make a break. Rusty Sword 1, hey, what is the best level according to Thief to start PvP? I don't know. break your stone, go into channel PvP and ask them. After they beat the crap out of you, they'll probably tell you. I honestly do not know. PvP is the one part of the game that I don't play. That's just me. Let's see here. Gleave says, I'm going to go Gord Core. Yay. I'm going to get an AD Demon. Good. I'm going to go Disco Bandit. Good. Hack Rat. Any other tips? Well, you know, if you had Accordion Thief, you could also then have Fat Loot on. If you went Disco Bandit, you could have bad looting skills. I mean, obviously, a good combination would be having both. Always go farming with blue cones. Do some Tixel farming. Get a monster bait to make the fights happen more often, so you don't get as many of those, you know. You're into the guy with the hammer. It's hammer time plus 3 Moxie. You know, yeah, that would be an idea. Make the fights happen more often. What else obvious things? There's something else obvious. Have lots of turns and be patient. Definitely be patient. If you get it working right, you can get about 20-25 a day of items, which is pretty cool. Merrick is starting OxyCore Run 10. Yay, Merrick. I'm going to start my first OxyCore. And I'm going to be real intelligent, and I'm going to pick up the 6 trivial skills through my 6 runs. So I can get a trophy. And then I think I'm going to break that and celebrate by doing a couple soft cores to get a couple of the trophies that I can get in soft core easier. Alright. Monster bait. Yes. You can be a monster debate. Oh, wait, never mind. Wrong. Bad pun. Alright. This is a song by Vert. It was Once Upon a Time in Transylvania. It's pretty cool. I am out of questions right now. So you may want to slash MS. You know, I also hear that. Sweet Jesus, it burns. And again, I have bad visual pictures of things that I learned in junior high during sexuality and STD week. And you know, needless to say, I'm not going to share that one because it is too early in the day to get away with saying something like that. For the record, dumb fuckers who can't get a clue and basically tries to make me look like an idiot and patronizes me, your ass gets bleated. And, sucks to be you. Moving on. Vodkadian says, I'm hardcore pasta mancer and I blew my chance of getting a wand. Whoops. What outfit should I wear when riding the Naughty Sorceress now? Okay. Since you obviously can't do a furry suit, which would be the best thing to help, you're going to have to go in with the idea that you are a spell slinger. You need to have your spells hitting as much as possible. Okay? So basically, you're going to go in, spell. You're going to look at increasing your mysticality. You're going to look at increasing your spell damage. So that's what you want to look for. Because if you can't just dink them to death, and yes, you're not going to get all your spells through, you know, but that's what you got through. I mean, because I do the lunging thrust smack trick. And it's the same thing. It works the same thing as a spell, you know. It may not hit as much, but that's your best chance. Or if you have you still want to try to put on items that will lower your moxie as best you can, will increase your mysticality as best as it can. An acid flower is always good. Flaming talons when you have to start hitting on them is good for the offhand. That's my suggestion, is go for items that will increase mysticality, increase spell damage, or still try to lower your moxie. That's my plan there. Leaf says I should save my trivial skills for my 11 softcore runs. Yeah, I have time to decide. The problem is my first run is Steel Clubber, and I have pretty much every major skill that I want from it. You know, I might pick up one other of these. Let's see here. Copy, paste. Susie DePunk asks, does the stat sign you pick when ascending? Hi, Haplo. Ascending alter the bonuses you gain when you ascend again. No. The stat sign affects different aspects of how things happen during your current run. Like, for example, the blender will give a few more stats per drinks, where Possum gives a few more stats per food. The vole, I think, has been figured out that it increases critical hit. So, no, it has no effect on the rewards. What class you pick has an effect on the rewards. And what path you pick has an effect on the rewards. Jesus, is there any other non-starter items, not like the slingshot or disco ball, that are one-handed range weapons? I know of the can of fake snow. Any others? Can of maces, I think, is one-handed. All the crossbows are two-handed. I fully aware that that is an issue right now with the Moxie classes, but my understanding from what I've been told is that basically, quote, patience, that some of the new stuff coming out is eventually going to help solve that issue. Top of my head, I can't think of anything. Triple Jake asks, a double question. Oh, no. And, toothpicks increase damage. Yeah, that's a good thing. Do you know what the percent... Oh, it's asked the question twice. Okay. Do you know what the percent of meat drop is per pound for a leprechaun? Because I can't decide whether I should equip a tiny plastic familiar or a tiny plastic hermit. Something in my head wants me to say 5% per pound. That's what my head is wanting to say. And I don't know if that's right. Honestly. 2.5. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. 2.5 per pound. I trust Gleaves because Gleaves has done some research on this, I know. 2.5% per pound. There you go. Let's see here. Modern Hydra, I'm doing Gord Core. Where do you suggest for getting food? If you have Pasta Mantry and you have Sauce Crafting, which are two parts of reagent foods, all you need is mushrooms. So if you... Or sausage. Or goat cheese. So if you can get a clover, go to the kitchens, there are your sausages and mushrooms. There's your food. And you can skill point the rest of the other pieces for your... reagent foods. Trust me, that's how I did it. And it is a good thing to do. Legend Slayer asks, hey, I'm going to start speed ascending, but I have a limited meat supply, so no pickles or TPS drinks, and I can't get a Mr. A. So what are some good items, food, booze? Well, Dark Eagle, I kind of look at it as a mid-range character. He does have some Mr. A's, and he does have wax lips. Okay, and that is a big help. But I don't eat pickles. I eat chow mains. So obviously chow mains are going to be your best foods. Your Disco Bandit drinks are going to be your best drinks. That's going to be the things that you're going to have to eat and drink and survive on. That's what I do, and I get along just fine. mainly because I don't feel like moving my TPSs over to my softcore character, because that could be multi-abuse, and honestly, I like to move my display case. Even though I have this 2-day run idea, I may move it for that one run just to see if I can do it, and then put it back in the display case. Anyway. What the hell? Oh, some god-awful ice cream truck is going around with, like, hideous foul music. So anyway, items. Well, you know, badass belts. Those are nice little, those are plus 5 per stats. You can wear 3 of them, get your Mr. A. You know, those are pretty good. That might be your alternative to Mr. A, is just badass belts. Obviously, you wouldn't have the Jekyll and Hyde belt either. So, yeah, I'd say badass belts are pretty good for... Oh, Jelly says it is 5% per pound. I'm like, okay. Okay, Jelly says 5%. Gleeb says 2.5%. I don't remember, so go with one of the two. Legend Slayer then says, what skill should I go after? Well, go after your familiar skills. Go after the lunging thrust smack skills. Lunging thrust smack, Eye of the Stoat, Claws of the Otter and Walrus, Springy Fusilli, any other spells that increases your damage, such as the Snapper or Rage of the Reindeer. Those are good spells, but just for a basic skill set, if you've got a basic skill set that gives you food and reagents and helps you with your item drops and meat drop, passive skills that you can get from various places, expert panhandling, nimble fingers, etc. Those are good skills to go after. But then again, it's all according to your style of play. I want to be able to hit you and hit you hard, and my phone's ringing. Yay. Hopefully the wife's going to get my phone. Hopefully. Yes, she picked it up. Okay. Let's see here. Let's scroll back up. Rusty Sword 1 says, hate to sound like a hippie noob. Hippie noob. But why does everyone ascend hardcore? Because it's fun. Hardcore lets everyone compete a fair shake without people having, you know, tons of bug meat and items and things like that from previous eras. Also, the rewards you get for hardcore are pretty nice. If you look at my display case, the second shelf, I believe, has some pretty nifty things. And actually, it's really the third shelf, but there's nothing on the second shelf yet. I'm going after those soon. But this is nice little stainless steel stuff. Yeah. And then if you go hardcore Oxy, you get plexiglass stuff, which is even better. So that's why we go hardcore. Plus, then we also get, if you scroll down where it says path rewards, we get some of those items as well on my display case. So really, you know, that's why. That's why. I need more stars. I'm just getting close to 50,000. It's a good round number. Buy me stars. I didn't hear anything. Sonic Boy says, what does the lucky surprise egg do? It gives you adventure, and I think maybe a stat point, and then you get tiny plastics something or another. Not in the Crimbo tiny plastics, but then every other tiny plastic is fair game. Actually, let me ask this here. Any idea in this... I'm trying to inquire about when the archives is going to be ready to go, because Ossipeda has some other questions, or other shows, and we're having some issues getting them transferred over, so we're working on that. Vicadian asks, I'm really struggling on the castle on my hardcore Possumancer run. I'm only a day or two away from the Naughty Sorceress. Are Goofball a viable option? I've never used them before. They're viable when you get to the golems. I wouldn't use them now. The hedge golems. I would suggest, honestly, orangish aphrodisiac. Boost your moxie up very high, and then you can kind of bounce around and not get hit. That'd be my suggestion. And Cyclops says that all this is going to be up pretty soon. It's getting there. And I will work on that. JLE's points out, and of course I don't know why I didn't think about this, for a speed ascender and soft core, no Mr. A's, three sneaky Pete's breath sprays for Moxie class. Suggest that for Miss class as well. Three Boris rings for Muscle class. That's not a bad idea. Aw, oh, someone whining about being belated. The Devil's Snare asked, what are the most important items to farm for during an Oxycore ascension? Well, you're really not going to be doing a lot of farming for items, because Oxycore, the goal is get as much stats as you can per adventure and get the hell done. You know, it's just kind of the way it is. Now, I mean, pretty much, you know, you should farm for the items for the tower. You should farm for your pixel potions. You should farm for basically whatever items you need to beat that quest. As soon as you have that quest done, you go immediately to the adventure area that gives you the most stats. You can go on to the next adventure area. For example, when you beat level 5 and you beat the Knob Goblin King, you want to go into the menagerie, however much you can survive until you get to level 6, so that you can go to, you know, that one place. The Deep Fat Friar's corpse. Oh my god. So, you're really not farming for items during an Oxycore ascension. You're just trying to get through the quest as soon as you can. I already answered it. That's funny. Sargi asks, if I encounter the cow, fucking cow, in the tower and am hardcore, is it better to go get a wand and a picket fence or to search the shore? 100% better to go search for a picket fence. The only time I went out to the shore was when I had 9 turns left and I was on level 6 and I wanted to ascend that day. I said, okay, I have 9 turns, and then I have one more food item I can eat, and otherwise, if I don't get it today, I'm going to picket fence farm. And yeah, I gave it to me that first time, but that's the only time that I've ever tried that, because at that point, I didn't have the wand yet. So, unless you're truly trying to get it that day, and you don't have the terms to even start getting the wand, go to the picket fence. I actually got my wand today. Because when I did my second day of key farming, it dropped the same key, and I was like, crap. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens in my shore runs for my dinghy plans, and no fence dropped there, so I was like, double crap. Going to go get the wand. And yes, it was not that terribly bad to get the wand. Sailor Bowser asks, what are the most important skills to make permanent from Disco Bandit and Accordion Thief? Well, let's look at Ashelon and what I've picked up here, skill-wise. From Disco Bandit, I have picked up Nimble Fingers, Mad Looting Skills, an Overdeveloped Sense of Self-Preservation. From Accordion Thief, I have picked up the Monstrous Madrigal, the Polka of Plenty, and Fat Leon's Fat Loot Lyric. Now, that's not saying that's all the best ones. Those are the 6 I've picked up. I would also suggest that the Power Bat of the Aerosmith can at times be a great benefit to a lunging thrust smacker. The advanced cocktail crafting can be a great benefit to a boozertarian and or a no-path person. The Symphony of Destruction and Antiphon of Aptitude and Ode to Booze are also good songs to use as well. And finally, a Disco Face Stab is a good alternate to a Lunging Thrust Smack, because it also not only does damage, but will lower the level of the monster you're facing. So those are good. Sargi asks, even though I've not hit the Dungeon of Doom at all, it's still worth the turns. Uh-huh, because you're also not spinning meat. And the RNG is a fickle thing in the shore. Fuxatani Phil asks, say perchance you die fighting the mimic. Whoops. While in hardcore, any good naughty sorcerer strategies without the furry suit? Oh, and you're a disco bandit, okay. Disco face stab, that's what I was talking about there. That will help do a little bit lower hits, and then you gotta have some skills. You gotta just be able to beat the crap out of them and everything, and oh, homemade burritos, enchiladas, those aren't burritos, coming in for dinner, and yeah, pretty much you want any items that will lower your moxie, such as you know, elite trousers and, you know, things that will increase your hit points, but still give you good damage. Those will help. Okay. Let's see here. Are you ready? As if she beats me for the way I asked her. Because if she says yes, I am going to go ahead and end the show and hand off to Haplo. Wow. She's gonna kill me. Oh. She pones me on the way out. Point. So, are ya? I was like, are you red? E. She's like, no. You're supposed to say it, are you? E, that's red. I'm like, damn it. Alright. Yeah, I'm hoping you've enjoyed my ramblings this show. This has been State of the Kingdom with Ashlon on Radio KOL.